The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good evening, everybody. It is currently about 6:26 p.m. on Saturday, May 11th. 6:26 p.m. Eastern, I should say. A little bit of a late post and a late podcast here. Apologies for that, but I was hanging out with family for the Mother's Day weekend this weekend, and I was also at a metal show last night, which is why my voice is a little bit like this. I'm also just a tad hungover, so bear with me here, folks. So I caught most of the Gen.G top esports match, which was just a doozy. I thought we didn't really get any heart monitor gold graphs in this one. For the most part, the team that won was pretty sturdy and solid. We had a couple close contested early and mid games in this series, but all five games were basically wire-to-wire wins for the winner. So nothing too crazy or outlandish in this series. It was just a competitive series between two teams. I stand by my concept that the top four, five-ish teams in this tournament are a lot more closely rated. I think like G2 and the four Asian teams, or the four LPL and LCK teams specifically, are a lot more closely rated than the market seems to think they are. So we've seen a little bit of an adjustment to that, to the lines as well. The Fnatic versus Liquid series, we had a two-unit loss. I had a double stake on Fnatic to trash Liquid, and I don't know what that match was. I came home and caught most of that. I'll be honest with you, I was fairly inebriated while watching that match. I had to rewatch the first game because I didn't get to watch it live. I was just getting home. But that was a really, really poor performance from Fnatic last night. I don't exactly know. Like, they just looked off on the day, and it can happen to anybody. You know, I would go back to the well and do the same exact wager I did again. I'll give Liquid some credit. I thought APA actually had a pretty good series in this one. I like to dunk on that guy, but he was pretty good, and he's gotten a lot better. But this was, I think, like 80-20, like 80% just Fnatic playing awful yesterday. They just looked looked all out of sorts. They didn't look on the same page for anything. Humanoid had maybe the worst series that I've seen from him since like winter. Winter split. I haven't gone through and done the game grades on this yet, but I would wager to guess that this was probably the three losses in this series were probably three of Fnatic's bottom five or six games for the entire year so far. This was not good. It was not a good showing. It was honestly pretty embarrassing, and you know, props to Liquid for taking care of business and capitalizing on this stuff. But this was more just an otherworldly bad performance from Fnatic. So we'll have to see how this goes moving forward with Liquid. I'm kind of bummed that we don't get Fnatic in this tournament anymore, but that's how it goes sometimes. All right, moving on to the Sunday slate. This starts, once again, as a reminder, at midnight Eastern on Saturday night. So in about 5.5 hours from the time this podcast is coming out. And then there's another match right afterwards, so probably around 5 a.m. Eastern, depending on how quick the first match is. I forgot to mention, we ended up minus 1.765 units on the day. The first like real bad day we've had in this tournament. I've been running pretty well, so not going to complain. We're still up. Let me see. We have like a plus 28% ROI for MSI so far. So, you know, I'm not going to complain, even though we lost a double down stake loss here on Fnatic. We did get a cover with top, which made us back a little bit. Moving on to Sunday. Well, the first match is suddenly significantly more interesting than it would have been a couple days ago. We have G2 Esports, minus 538 on the money line. The minus 1 hit maps at minus 181. The sweep is at plus 201. Against Paris Saint-Germain Talon, plus 355 on the money line. Plus 1.5 maps at plus 146. Plus 2.5 at minus 260. The minus 1.5 at plus 669. And the sweep for the dogs at plus 1260. What's really interesting is when you get, and you see this in traditional sports too, is when you get an outlier type of series performance. PSG played outstanding, much more like I thought they were capable of, but and then some, really. Like, I mean, I have a lot more respect for Talon than most people do, but I didn't really think that they were going to hang too much in that series. I still thought they were probably going to get 3-0'd by Billy. Brought it all the way to Game 5. We almost had a Miracle on Ice level upset there. And sure enough, Billy actually closed it out. Games 1 and 5 in this series were absolute blowouts from Billy. And frankly, Game 2, they were up like 8,400 gold at 15 minutes, which is like a 1% outer. Like, it's like 99% win rate at that point. So the fact that they threw that over the next 10 minutes, they threw that lead all the way back, was just a complete mess. I thought this easily could have been a 3-1 for PSG, because in Game 3, I thought PSG looked a lot better. They kind of threw in Game 3. So Talon look a lot better right now than they did in the play-in stage. They're kind of playing themselves into form, and this is much more like what they were like domestically, I think. If anything, they've actually elevated their early game, probably having good scrim partners and everything, because they were not that dominant an early game team domestically. They were more of a Gen G type, you know, slow controlled, choke you out kind of team. Not Gen G, more like Hanwha, I guess. But anyway, I think what's interesting is, like, G2 are coming off of a good performance against T1 as well. I think G2 have more weapons in their arsenal. They have more picks available to them. They have a wider range of strategies to attack PSG with. I do think they deserve to be favorites here. The question is, like, so this series price reflects roughly a 71% win rate per map for G2. And I don't think they should be that heavily favored against PSG. I do think they should be sizable favorites, but I think this is more like a 65-35 per map kind of game. And then if you give G2 a bump for side choice, you end up somewhere, you know, in that range. Like, all this is, you know, suffice to say, like, I think this is actually kind of a fair price. I think if you wanted to get some PSG here, I would play the plus 2.5 maps at minus 260, as lame as that is. I do think there's a little bit of meat on the bone there, but it's not enough of an edge that I'm all that interested in playing it. So, like, I kind of went back and forth about playing this or not, and I'm ultimately not going to play the plus 2.5 maps, but I do think, like, if you're going to, I think it's plus EV. I just don't think it meets the threshold for me of being enough of an advantage on market to make a play on it. So heavy lean to the plus 2.5 maps for me, but I didn't ultimately play anything in this match. Next one is T1 plus 130. I'm using the Pinnacle lines here. Make sure you shop around, because there's some pretty disparate prices in this matchup. I've seen T1 as low as even money. So T1 plus 130 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at minus 177, plus 2.5 is minus 635. The minus 1.5 is at plus 289. The minus 2.5 is at plus 859 against Billy Gaming, the number one seed from the LPL. Minus 159 on the money line, minus 1.5 is at plus 145, minus 2.5 is at plus 448. BLG are going to have side choice for this match. They get an appropriate bump for that. But I'm kind of sticking to the concept that I talked about earlier, where I think the top four or five teams in this tournament, I think, are a lot more closely matched. There's a lot more parity there. I think they're a lot closer to coin flips than the market seems to think. The market's giving way, way too much respect, I think, to Billy and Gen G, you know, because they are the one seeds. I totally get it. But I think these matches are probably all closer to coin flips than the market's probably going to price them. It's just a matter of, is there enough of an edge there to get involved with it? I think this is much more appropriate a price than we saw in, like, Gen G to, like, top esports this morning. Gen G were, like, north of minus 200. I think they were minus 225 for that match. I think this is probably closer to, like, how these series should be priced. I think they should probably be more like minus 130 even money kind of deals, like closer to coin flips, and just make people pick and, you know, bookmake on that. There's apparently some appetite at the bigger books here for Billy. If you want cheaper prices on Billy, you can get them at other places. I've seen as low as minus 128. So if you like Billy. Anyway, they get a side choice. They get side choice for this match. I think a lot of this handicap depends on how much weight you put on that last Billy performance. Personally, it's weird. I don't like to overreact to a bad series, but I do think it showed, like, it's cause for concern that the one thing that Billy were not, like, the one weakness that they had domestically, and they dominated China this season so far, don't get me wrong, but the one weakness that they had is that sometimes their transition game is a little bit sloppy, and every once in a while they're sloppy closing games out, and that came back to haunt them a little bit against PSG. They got a little bit... I still think they were kind of playing with their food. And then after that Game 2 loss, like after that stunner, they just looked a little bit tilted and rattled. And it took them a few games to kind of get their heads right and get back into it. I do think that there's a lot of pressure on them. I think now that they know that they're mortal, maybe that creates some more pressure. The coaches were not very happy. But I think it's concerning that we didn't see that fixed. But that is domestically an issue that they had. So, and what I will say is, like, the Korean teams will punish that extremely hard. Like, extremely, extremely hard. They, like, you can't make those kind of mistakes in transition. I think the Korean teams generally have better, not always, but generally have better macro, especially the elite teams. So you can't be sloppy in closure against them. Another angle to consider in this, or another, not angle, just another, you know, thing to consider for this matchup is that this iteration of T1 specifically has absolutely dominated every the LPL in general. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I don't think they've lost a series to an LPL team at an international event with this iteration of the lineup. I don't think they did last year. Oh, you know what they did? They lost to JDG at MSI. Because JDG were on the Seeking the Golden Road. So that was the only loss, series loss, that they had to an LPL team last year. And I like, even if you go back to the year before that, this iteration of T1 in general has kind of just owned the LPL. At the World Championship last year, they just ran through all four teams, as we saw. So there's just something about this T1 team that they just have... They just own the LPL teams, and I don't know if there's a specific reason for it. Maybe it's that they're T1 are really, really good at finding windows, and I think a lot of it's just because of experience. You know, having Faker as a shot caller in game matters a lot for them. Faker, by the way, had, you know, put the team on his back in that game five the other day. So that was pretty cool to see that he still got it, which is, it's just nuts. Not to really stand on Faker anymore, not that he needs it or anything, but it was just cool to see him clutch that out. It was a great game from him, especially after bouncing back from a rough Aurelion Sol showing earlier in the day. Anyway, I am going to take some T1 here on the money line. I played T1 plus 130 on the money line for one unit. I don't think this is like a massive, massive edge or anything like this, but I really do think this should probably be closer to even money. Like, this should probably be like plus 110, something like that. So I'm going to take some T1 plus 130. I know Bilibili have side choice, but I think, you know, a little bit of concern. I just think all these matches should be closer to coin flips. Like, this should probably be like minus 120 plus 100. Like, Bilibili favored minus 120, something like that. My numbers, by the way, say that T1 should be favored in this match. So, I don't have that much, you know, I don't think it's that lopsided or anything, but... give me some T1 here. I think this is going to be a close match. I'll say this. If Bilibili play like they did in games 2, 3, and 4 of... really, specifically in games 3 and 4 of that series. Game 2, they were dominating and just threw it. But if they play like they did in games 3 and 4 of that last series, then T1's going to 3-0 them. If they play closer to what they did in game 5 of that series and game 1, then I think this is going to be a close back-and-forth competitive series between two of the best teams in the world. So... looking forward to this one. This should be a really, really entertaining match. And that's going to be it for me today. I will likely not have a show on Sunday because there is no match on Monday. And we'll be back in action on Monday with a Patreon post as well as a podcast for the matches that start up on Tuesday as we round into the rest of this. Good luck. Enjoy the matches tonight, and I'll see you on Monday.